We've been talking this week about helping your child deal with pain, noticing when your child is in pain, being proactive, but being observant. But what happens when the whole family is in pain? What are we supposed to do?
You're listening to Parenting on Purpose with Dr. Bob Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries. I'm your host, Ruthie J, and we've been talking about how to notice child's moods. Are you even available for your child to come up to and say something, or are you available even for you to go after
proactive.
Your child?
Are you proactive? Yeah.
Yesterday, we actually covered the steps on how to help your child, you know, how to notice, how to find a way to get them to open up, and how to listen, and offer help when necessary, but not being the number one goal. So all those programs are online at parentingonpurpose.org. But sometimes there are moments where a mommy's also breaking down, where dad is just a bunch of pieces with seemingly no hope.
I don't think it's unusual. I think there are just times when the whole family's in pain. There's been a loss, you know, maybe as minimal, and you would expect this from a non-dog person, but minimal of a loss of a pet, to the loss of a loved one, to the loss of grandma, grandpa, or to dad just lost his job. Are we going to be okay?
Yeah,
and those are the times where we have to corporately lead in processing pain. Those are the opportunities to bring everybody together and have all the answers everybody expects you to have, but then finding each child individually. And it doesn't hurt to share your pain, but also I've got to decide they're children. I'm the adult.
And they will watch you cry. It's funny how I still have images of my mom. My mom almost never cried. I mean, maybe two or three times growing up, some very tough situations. And it wasn't because she was hiding it. She's just a strong person. But I remember just staring at her and like, oh, that's how my mom cries when my grandfather died, and just seeing how long it took her to get over, you know, go through that process. And but it taught me what it looks like.
It's okay.
Yeah.
It's acceptable. In fact, he created us with tear ducts for a reason. I don't know which one it was, and I don't want to. Was one of them asked me, Dad, do you ever cry? And how important it was for me to say, I see the scene. I was lying on their one of their beds with them. Oh, it was a Friday night, and they're both in the same room. Friday nights, we were required for them both to be in the same room. It was hilarious. Tori would pull out her trundle. Roby would sleep beneath. Tori would sleep on top. It was punishment. You guys have to stay in the same room, and you have to talk as long as you want every Friday night.
And they loved it every time.
Oh, it was awesome. I mean, it just made them close. But I ended up wrecking everything and coming in the room, so I'd get in trouble with Rosemary, and I'd low crawl on all fours in the room, and they're giggling like they don't see me. But one of them asked me, Dad, do you ever cry? And I said, of course I do. And the other one said, but not movies, not movie cry. Not at sad movies. Did you ever cry for something that happened to you? And I said, yes. And I said, did you cry when your mom died? And I said, yes. And I can't remember if it was after my dad died. I think it was. But did you cry? You didn't cry when Opa died. And I said, well, I didn't cry at the service. I did the service, but I cried. I think I cried for 10 years prior. I just saw nothing happen in his life spiritually. I think when we're dealing with pain, it's important to be the adult, but it's important to let them know it's okay. And it's important to process some, but not all. One of the things that we have to be very careful of, though, is if, especially in a single parent household, sometimes mom decides that the oldest one is an adult and dumps everything on the oldest one and thinks they can share as peers. And that's very dangerous. That child is still a child. So be very careful. But there are times when the whole family's in pain. And I think there's value in sharing the pain rather than ignoring the pain.
And there are very strange times, though, when it happens, but then you do feel like a bonding, like, okay, we're going to get this together. And you almost have to lead the kids through the pain because they're watching you, but going through it with you.
And they need to see that I'm taking steps. I need to see at those moments that I really do believe that God's in charge, that Jesus Christ has the answer. I remember a mom telling me, this was a single mom with two little girls. And she said, you know, on a Saturday, I had the 14-year-old take care of the 12-year-old. And I said, I'm going to be gone a couple hours. Went out and got my hair done for the first time in forever. I had the money now. Went out and got my hair done and bought a new outfit and came in, went in the bedroom, put on the outfit and came out and said, what do you think? And the oldest one got tears in her eyes and said, we're going to be okay, aren't we, Mom? And just seeing that Mom was taking the steps and not just sacrificing everything. She did a little bit for herself too. There became three little girls in the house that day. And so I think our children do need us not to hide from the pain. I think when the pet dies and there's tears in mom's or dad's eyes, that's a good thing. That's not a bad thing. But I also think we need to show leadership in the pain. Pain is a reality, and it's a reality we don't prepare our children for. I mean, we're going to do a broadcast in the weeks to come on children and death, because America hides their children from the reality of that. Mm-hmm. And we don't take them to the funeral of a loved one. We have somebody take care of them, and everybody dies. I mean, it's 100%. It's statistical. Everybody does. I'm going to die.
Yeah.
Grandma and grandpa have died. And so helping our children process some of these things, where in America, we hide them from it. We think we're sheltering them, but all we're doing is postponing their future pain. Is going to be dramatic.
Mm.
So when a whole family is going through pain, I think a whole family needs to admit it rather than just a stiff upper lip for the children. Yes, I need to be the leader. Mm-hmm. Yes, I need to know they are children. Yes, the answers I'm convincing myself of right now. And, you know, a go-to would verse for me would be during my times of pain, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. A go-to verse would be, what can we say about such wonderful things as these? If God's for us, who could ever be against us? A go-to verse would be Romans 8:28, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good. That's not all the good things. That's all things. That's the bad things. That's the difficult things. So if we know that, then I want to help my children with that. I want to be honest. And there are times I've been honest where I want to say, and I know in my brain, this is a fact. I know in my brain, Jesus has never left me down. I'm working now to convince my heart of that. And then I need, as I see God's hand, as I just see his hand in the days to come, I need to point it out to the children. And in my life, it's been the children often that have pointed it out to me. See, Dad? See, look,
that's what you were praying
because
for.
They felt we were all on the same train together. Mm. We're on the grief train or we're on the pain train. We're going to get through this dark tunnel.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to come out. There's light down there somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And so when they're the first ones to see glimpses of the light and just little glimpses, children are great. Children are, I think it was Elijah who, after all the drought, all of a sudden goes up on the mountain and he doesn't see a thunderstorm. He sees a hand, a cloud the size of a little hand, and he knows it's from God.
Yeah.
And he goes running down. And it's that childlike thing that sees the little things where I need to, then we need a family meeting. And that may be the dinner table to say, you know, Tori pointed something out to me today. And she pointed out the hand of God. And it was just a little hand like a cloud, but that all things are working together for good. I need to bring it back to pointing them to God.
Mm-hmm.
But I need to also say, Tori, I want to thank you. This, you know, as the dad, this was a difficult time, the loss of a job this was a difficult time for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I might use words sometimes like, wow, that was really lucky. It wasn't lucky. It was really God.
Mm-hmm.
And you pointed it out. I want to thank you. So that's pulling our children up to mm-hmm. leadership.
There are some situations though, where you have to deal a lot with pain. Maybe it's like your side of the family or whatnot. And kids don't really need to know grandma and grandpa going through something or whatever. And you're dealing with pain, but it does eventually trickle down. Like
they sense it.
They sense it.
Mom, are you okay?
Totally. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they might be going through something and they don't even know why. They're mad and confused because mommy's not as happy these days anymore. And they don't know why and what's going on. And you're stuck as a parent. Like, I need my grieving time and space, but then I'm having to counsel my kids. They don't even know what's going on, but I'm the one that's causing this problem.
I never had a problem asking my kids to pray for me. I never had a problem. Hey, there's something going on. What is it? There's just something going on at work and I haven't got my hands on it. Or there's something going on with Oma and Opa or whatever it is. I never had a problem. Could you just, I want you to pray that I handle this well. Could you pray for me? And the amazing thing as a leader, when you ask your children to pray for you, the very next, you know, dinner, Dad, just anything happens, everything. Yeah.
No, they'll ask every day.
Oh, and they're buying in. And they're into the prayer process.
Mm-hmm.
I think asking kids to pray, I mean, the times in life when I've asked my children to pray, the innocence of their prayer, I kind of think it's answered quicker and better than my prayer because my prayers are so self-centered sometimes.
Yeah.
Grief is a reality. Difficulty is a reality. Hurt feelings are a reality. Rejection's a reality. Job situations, employment, they're a reality. So we know that we're going to face that opposition on the playing field of life. Why don't we do the practice plays for it? And why don't we prepare our children when this happens? Why don't we see that God is giving them these opportunities and come alongside them? And when the whole family's in turmoil or difficulty, it's just a great time as a family to direct ourselves towards God.
Mm-hmm.
We have all these verses that we have access to The problem is we don't pull them, we don't use them, we don't live them. You only really need those verses during difficulty, but we only seem to memorize them during easy. I just walked out of Awana and memorized a verse with my kids. Wow, this is when that verse gets plugged into the wall of our brain, and it is electrifying now. It happens, and I want to bring my children back. So when my children come for a problem, if we've shared a family problem, we've gotten to the other end, mom's got breast cancer, whatever it is, and we prayed for mom, and there's some pain here, and there's a little, Dad, are you scared? And I said, well, you know, I'm only scared when I'm not thinking right. I'm only scared for mom when I'm not thinking right, because here's what I know. We love mom, but we don't love mom like God does, and he made that body, and he knows what's going on. And I just want to come alongside for mom. I don't want to be sad for mom, but I don't want to be laughing. I mean, I want to sense mom's needs right now, but scared, I would be lying if I said I'm never scared, but I notice I'm the most scared when I'm tired. And I'm the most scared when it just gets weary. And that's when I know, wow, I'm being attacked. I just want to help my children prepare for that and know that, so that down the road, we're past that family situation and my child, you know, didn't get into the college that they wanted to, or my child's, you know, her boyfriend or his girlfriend broke up with him. And to them, it's monstrous. It's at the moment, it's just as big as what the whole family was dealing with. And those are the opportunities to point him back and say, do you remember as a family when we... And yeah, well, this isn't the family, Dad. It's me. Oh, no, honey. When it's you, it's us. When it's you, it's us. Now, let me also say, there are these times when you just need to say, we are having a problem vacation. We're taking a two-hour vacation from our problems. It's so classic. It's from What About Bob, the most brilliant movie ever done. A vacation from my problems. And that's a two-hour, let's go do something we've never done. You know, let's go bowling. Never been bowling. Let's just do something silly. Something where for a moment as a family, we're laughing. And, you know, we've said this often, but the best laughter is at Dad. And Dad, that's like the third gutter ball in a row. It's supposed to be down the middle. And it's even better when Dad does some ridiculous things on purpose. When the leader distracts from the pain, it doesn't mean it's gone away, but wow, could we just laugh a little bit?
Just to breathe.
Let's get out of our pain for a little bit. And that, in my world, that meant get out of the house. Mm-hmm. In my world, that meant just go do something silly.
What about just talking to single parents too? They're just like, everyone's dealing with pain, but there's so many different angles. And or maybe a situation where there's a divorce happening. And so there's pain coming from different angles and the kids are caught in the middle.
And terrified. And didn't see it coming. And don't know whether to be angry, don't know whether to be fearful. And so often they're angry at the parent in front of them rather than the parent that left. Because I can't be angry at the parent that left. The parent that left's not here. So
and
I'm
they
be
miss them too much.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah. I'm going to be angry at the parent in front of me. And I think there is an acknowledgement of pain. But I also think, again, every now and then, that parent needs to decide, we're going to take a vacation. You reminded me of a great, absolute, incredible story, speaking in another state on a Friday night and Saturday morning at a single parent conference, and talked Friday night about just do something ridiculous. And I told the story about at Sheridan House when we sent the house parents away to a conference, and Steve Benarchuk and I moved in to be the house parents. And because Steve Benarchuk was an all-Midwest linebacker and huge, and I'm not an all-Midwest linebacker, I became the mom. And I was getting up in the morning making breakfast, and I was making all these different eggs, scrambled eggs for breakfast for 10 little boys before they went to school. And as I'm looking for seasonings, I found food coloring, and it was impossible to resist. And so I tried to dye
ADHD.
I tried to dye these eggs, and there was no color it turned but this nasty green, no matter what I put in there. And one of the kids came by. Two kids were sent in to set the table. When they came in to set the table, they saw the eggs and said, what is that? And I said, it's iguana eggs. We're eating iguana eggs. Oh, and it reverberates through the whole building, and they all come in. Do we have to eat that? Everybody has to have a taste of iguana eggs. And we take them off to school, and they all eat their eggs, and they're not sure. They think it's not, but they're not sure. And we get a call from the administrative assistant at the school, at Attucks Middle School, saying, what happened over there? And I said, I don't know, Mrs. Arnold, what's going on? And she said, they were walking down the hall dying laughing at these eggs. So I tell the story on a Friday night. Saturday, I'm back, and we're getting ready to speak. And before I speak, a mom comes up and she says, can I just thank you? And I said, why? She says, well, this morning before I came here, I've got three little girls, and I was making eggs. And I remember what she said, and I dyed the eggs, and we laughed so hard. It's the first time we've laughed since Dad left. Aww. It doesn't take any money. It just takes, you know what? We're going to do something different. Mm-hmm. We're just going to take a momentary vacation from our problems. I also want to teach my children how to do that.
You've been listening to Dr. Bob Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries. I'm your host, Ruthie J, on Parenting on Purpose. And if you were encouraged by today's program, you can hear the program all over again. Share it with someone who may need to hear it as well. It's online and free at parentingonpurpose.org. And for more on Sheridan House Family Ministries and the Boys and Girls Homes, the resources that are also available online that support the children's homes, go to shfm.org. It's short for Sheridan House Family Ministries. And we hope you join us starting next week as we'll cover another topic on Parenting on Purpose.